Amen.
He's worthy.
Amen. We love y'all too. I don't know who wrote this for us, but it says, love y'all. Amen. We love y'all too. I appreciate that. That reminds me, a few weeks ago, I guess it's been about a month ago, I was given, oh, thank you. I was given a note. The closing night of our one of our revival meetings in Pennsylvania, and a little note from a little fella. I think he's 9 years old, 10 years old maybe, and he thanked me for the messages. He said, "I know you made revival happen in my soul." And he said, "I will apply these things to my heart now." And then a P.S., thank you for signing my Bible. And then down at the bottom, he said, please keep this somewhere safe. Okay? So, I keep it in my Bible. Amen? And so, I'll put that one right there with it. Okay? And just thank you so much for all that you've done this week and just being faithful. We've had a good crowd every night, and I know people are tired, school all day, work all day, and then church at night, and I have not been letting you out early any night this week, and you guys have just held right in there, and you've come back for more, and he that endureth to the end shall be saved, amen. So thank you for sticking it out. Thank you for all your kindness to us. We've just had a great time. And this it's amazing to me this is only our second time here. It just feels like we've been here a lot more just because of just the bond that God has given us and with you folks. We appreciate it. I heard that my wife preached the house down this afternoon. The girl said, Dad, I think she preached longer than you did. I said, she probably preached better, too. But anyways, one of the girls that they sang a song. Did they sing the song? So Sarah was saying, Dad, are you going to come over and play the guitar for the song? I said, are you kidding me? I'm not going to a ladies' meeting. My mom used to make me go to those all the time. You know, me and my brothers, and we'd have to come in and sing for it, you know. And I remember being in this ladies' meeting one time, and we were all sitting in the front row waiting for our time to sing, and then we could leave, you know. And so we're sitting there impatiently. And the pastor's wife opens in prayer, and she says, Lord, we just want to thank you for making us all women. Oh, Lord. I don't know where all that came from. It wasn't in the notes, but heard you had a good ladies' meeting today. Good lunch. And we just appreciate everything you've done for us. Thank you for the good place to stay. I was telling the pastor tonight, today I did really good. I made it to the front porch. Amen. I made it out to the front porch today. That's as far as I got away from the house. We've just been so comfortable there. And there are two recliners in that place. You know what they don't have in buses? They don't have recliners in buses. And so I'm not used to having a recliner, and so I've just been pretty well parked there the whole time. I thought about a half hour before the service, I thought, oh, man, I was remembered I was going to do some work on the trailer, and but I never got it out of the recliner, so we've just enjoyed it. So thank you so much. And all the good food, the good fellowship. And I don't know, and I told the young people last night, if they get a game of Walker Ball tonight, then the old fat guy will make an appearance. Amen? So I don't know if Walker Ball's on the docket for after the service, but if you get a game going, I'll come play for a little bit. I think the 44 Club should play. Yeah. Pastor's 44. Brother Rice is 44. Anyone else 44 in here tonight? It's confession time.
My
This little fellow here is patting his mom, saying, "Hey, Mom." Well, anyway, let's get into the message. Amen. The book of Leviticus. We've been here all week, and we're just going to finish it out here tonight. And there's no way that you really can cover really any book of the Bible in three or four nights of 45 minutes or an hour. But I have enjoyed what we've studied and what we've learned. I've learned some things from this book this week. And what we've really been focusing in on is how God called to Moses. And you see that in Leviticus chapter 1 and verse number 1. And we'll read that as our text again tonight, and then we'll jump to where we're going to get into the message in just a moment. But we'll start in Leviticus chapter 1, and I will invite you to stand with me once again. Leviticus chapter 1 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "And the Lord called unto Moses, and spake unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, If any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, ye shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd, and of the flock." We looked at Monday night this call of the Lord as a call to sacrifice. We looked at the five offerings that are listed in the book of Leviticus. And then last night we looked at a call to service as we studied the priesthood a little bit. And tonight we want to look at the laws, and I want us to look at a call to submission. And so let's pray and ask the Lord's blessing and help upon the service tonight. Heavenly Father, thank you for the day you've given us. Thank you, God, for your grace upon us. And Lord, we don't deserve the least of your benefits. God, the singing tonight, it stirred my heart. It reminded me of what a great God I have, and what a wonderful Savior we have. And Lord, if we got what we deserved, we'd all be in hell tonight. But Lord, you are gracious, you are merciful. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to see tonight that even though you have laws, that you have very good reasons for these laws. And Lord, that the law was not given to hurt man, but to help man. And so, God, I pray that you'd help us as we look at just the basis of the law tonight. Lord, we are thankful that we are not under the law. We're under grace. But, Lord, we're also thankful that you gave the law. Without the law, we would never have seen ourselves as the desperate sinners that we are. And so, God, we thank you for the law. We know it's holy and just and good. And God, I pray that you would help us to learn from it tonight. Lord, help us to leave this place better equipped to serve you and better equipped to fellowship with you and to walk with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. The first seven chapters of the book of Leviticus are all about the offerings. And we looked at them in some detail. And then last night we looked in chapter 8 through chapter number 10. And it deals with the priesthood. But about chapter 11, the Lord starts dealing with the laws concerning the people. And as we mentioned Sunday evening, he gets very specific with his laws. And we're not going to take time to read chapter 11 through chapter 27 tonight. But I do hope that you read it at some point. Amen. It is the Word of God and it is profitable. But let me give you a quick overview. When we look at the laws that are mentioned in Leviticus, there are a lot of laws mentioned. I mean a lot of laws mentioned. And they're listed here, and they cover so many areas and so many scenarios of life. The Lord is a detail-oriented God. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that that we're not left in the dark, that we're not left to have to guess what is right and what is wrong, what we should do, what we shouldn't do, that our God is very specific. And I'm thankful for that. He was very specific with the nation of Israel. And in these laws, he begins in chapter 11. He says, verse 1, "The Lord spake unto Moses and to Aaron, saying unto them, speaking to the children of Israel, saying, these are the beasts which ye shall eat among all the beasts that are on the earth." I'm thankful they could eat some beasts. Amen. I like eating beasts. And I keep waiting to get invited to one of those beast feasts. Amen. These churches, they have beast feasts. And I'm not a big hunter, so I never get invited. But, you know, I might not hunt them, but I like eating them. Amen. And so, but he gives all these, all this instruction, what beasts they could eat, what fish they could eat, what fowls they could eat, what creeping things they could eat. I don't know who would want to eat a creeping thing, but he has a law about that too. And so, chapter 11, he deals with tasting, and then he deals with touching. There are things that they could not touch. Things that were unclean unto them. In verse 24, he says, "And for these ye shall be unclean. Whosoever toucheth the carcass of them shall be unclean until the even." And so there's a whole list of things that they were not to touch. And that's what's covered in chapter 11. And then chapter 12, he deals with motherhood and birth. There were laws surrounding that. And then in chapters 13 through 15, he deals with leprosy and the laws regarding that. And I believe we may have spoke on that last year when we were here, the laws of leprosy. And then in chapter 16, he deals with the atonement. And what an important thing that was in the life of Israel, that day of atonement. If that day, if that sacrifice was not made and their sins were not atoned for, Israel was in real trouble. They would be destroyed. And so chapter 16 is all about the laws regarding the atonement. Chapter 17 deals with the laws regarding the place of sacrifice. They couldn't just offer a sacrifice anywhere. They had to bring it to the tabernacle and the place that God would set up. Chapter 18 deals with modesty and propriety in relationships. And God has something to say about that as well. Amen? And he still has something to say about that. Amen. Marriage is between a man and a woman. Period. End of story. Amen? And so he had something to say about that. And then chapter 19, there are various laws regarding life in Canaan. And it's chapter 19 is just kind of a, it's kind of a quick hit. It's kind of a shotgun chapter. He just covers a bunch of stuff in chapter 19. Then in chapter 20, he deals with immorality. And God is concerned about that. Amen? He wanted his people to live moral lives. Chapter 21 and 22, their laws regarding the priesthood, goes into a little bit more detail than chapters 8 through 10. Chapter 23 is a fascinating chapter in the Bible, in the book. It's on the feasts of the Lord. And what a rich study the feasts are. I've been trying to preach on the feasts all week, and the Lord hadn't let me. But that's a wonderful study. If you've never studied the feasts of Israel, you ought to do that. And do a little digging in there. It'll bless you. And then chapter 24, he deals with the care of the tabernacle. There were laws regarding the tabernacle, how it was to be carried and how it was to be cared for. Also, there's laws regarding blasphemy in chapter 24. Chapter 25 deals with their calendar. It deals with the Sabbath year. Every 7 years, they were to let the ground rest. And they were not to work the ground for that seventh year. And then every 50 years was the year of Jubilee. There are laws regarding their inheritance and the land. And so you say, why cover all these things? Well, I just want you to understand that God has laws concerning every part of their lives. And some would look at that and say, well, that's so invasive. No, that's informative. Well, that's so harmful. No, that's helpful. And I want to know what God has to say. Because it doesn't take very long to live in this life to figure out that you don't have everything figured out. And that His knowledge and His wisdom is infinite and ours is not. You know, I was thinking about this back when I was pastoring. And I'm going to try to keep moving along here tonight. But back when I was pastoring, it seemed like I'd counsel people. And sometimes, you know, there'd be a couple there. And she would tell her side of the story. And he would tell his side of the story. And I always knew that there's a third side of the story. But I never knew what it was. And it occurred to me, I'm never going to know all the facts about the story. I'm just never going to know it. And then my next thought was, God does. God knows every detail about every part of this story. Why would we not listen to God? Why would we not want God's viewpoint on things? He has infinite knowledge and understanding. And so he lays out very detailed laws regarding their lives. Now, if the Lord gave them laws concerning every part of their life, that tells me that the Lord cared about every part of their life. Now, I want you to think about that, and don't think about it in a negative way. Think about it in a positive way. You look at things and you say, well, why does the Lord have a law concerning this? This seems small and insignificant. Well, that means it's not small and insignificant to God. You know, I love hearing children pray. Because the burdens upon their heart that we might look at, and to us it's not a big deal, but to them it's a big deal. Those things are a big deal to God. That helps me. That blesses me. We have a God that cares, and He cares enough to get right down to the details of our lives. Some of you are nervous. I don't know why you're nervous tonight. What I'm trying to say to us is that the law is not a bad thing. We look at the law and we look at it from our viewpoint. We mentioned viewpoints Monday night. From our viewpoint, from human viewpoint, from human nature, the law is a bad thing. But if we look at it from God's viewpoint, the law is a good thing. Let me give you an illustration. We used to have a wood stove in our house. I love wood heat. Who has wood heat here tonight? Okay. Wood heat's the best. I love it. Well, we had a wood stove in the kitchen. So we had a law regarding the wood stove. Don't touch it when it's hot. That's a good law, isn't it? It's a really good law. Now, when the kids are little, they didn't understand about the wood stove, and so they get close to the wood stove, we say, no. Well, they don't like being told no, Brother Rice. Strange thing. They don't like being told no. To them, that law was a burden until they touched it. Then they realized very quickly that law was a blessing, Brother Jay. That was a blessing. See, the viewpoint is what makes all the difference. If we look at things from God's viewpoint, we can look at the law as a blessing. And we should. Now, in chapters 26 and 27, there are 27 chapters in Leviticus, the Lord wraps up the book with promises, warnings, and then a few laws in chapter 27 that we probably won't get to, but they're so interesting. Regarding these laws, and you can look them up later, on dedicated things and on the tithe. But the law is written, listen, I was thinking about this today when I was thinking about the law and the origin of the law. Where did the law come from? And we know that God gave it, but where did the concept of the law come from? Why is the law... Why does it define what is good and what is bad? How does it define it? I was thinking about the law, and I believe this to be true. The law is a written record of God's nature. You want to know God? People tell me, I just want to know God. Read His Word. Read the law. Now that goes against our modern way of thinking. Because our way of thinking now and this whole new emergent church idea of knowing God is just feeling some feeling and experiencing some emotion. And we feel like that's how we're going to know God. No, you want to know God, get into God's Word. You want to know the nature of God and His character and His moral compass, if we could say it that way? Read the law. Now listen, God does not change. He doesn't change. That means the God of the Old Testament is the God of the New Testament. And the same moral fabric of God that's laid out in the law is the same moral fabric He has today. The law is the written record of God's nature. I was reading today, and I read of this quote. There's a quote above the entrance of the former Worcester County Courthouse in Worcester, Massachusetts. Anybody been to Worcester? Okay, a few. My wife was born in Worcester. Forgive her. Amen. She didn't have a choice in the matter. But above the... I'm just joking. Amen. Above the doorway of the Worcester County Courthouse, the former Worcester County Courthouse, they built a new one now, but the old one, it had this over the top. It had, "Obedience to the law is liberty." Obedience to the law is liberty. Now that goes against fallen man's idea of liberty. To fallen man, liberty is no law. That's what the nature of man, thinks that liberty is there's no laws, there's no limits, there's no rules, we can do whatever we want to do. You know, they tried that in the book of Judges. It didn't end well. Well, you ever want to get depressed, read the book of Judges. Amen. I'm not saying depressed with God, I'm saying depressed with human nature. When every man did that which was right in his own eyes, it was chaos. It was destruction. It was the very opposite of liberty. It was bondage. You see, the fact of the matter is, we are born with a sin nature, and therefore we are born in bondage. We are in bondage to sin. Is that right? Amen. And so, obedience to the law is liberty. I thought that was a profound statement. And it's a statement that I believe is backed up in the Word of God. Fallen man is deceived. He does not see that sin is the ultimate enslaver. Now, look with me in Leviticus 26. Just laying a little groundwork here. And I only have 3 points tonight. And you said, well, were we supposed to be encouraged by that? You've only have had 3 points. But look in Leviticus chapter 26, because this is what people say, and this is what's going on in so-called Independent Baptist churches today. This pushback against rules and this pushback against standards and convictions. You know what that is? That's sinful man's sinful nature. I was in a church in Indiana, the one we were in last week. And there's another church in town. And right on the front doors, as you walk in the church, and I didn't go in the church, but I saw the sign, right on the front door of the church, this is what it says. The church with no rules. That's what it said. Church with no rules. Well, you know what I wanted to do? I wanted to test that theory. Well, but the idea is the law is bad. The law is bad. The law, they're putting us under the law and all these rules and all these standards and all these convictions. And you know, you Bible believers, you're just putting us under the law. Look what God had to say about that. Look at Leviticus chapter 26. He says in verse 1, it says, "Ye shall make you no idols, nor graven image, neither rear you up a standing image, neither shall ye set up any image of stone in your land to bow down unto it, for I am the Lord your God. Ye shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord." Now look down in verse 13. He said, "I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt." Hey, remember Egypt? You want to talk about bondage? That was bondage. Egypt was bondage. He said, "I brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, that ye should not be their bondmen. And I have broken the bands of your yoke and made you go upright." You know what the Lord said? "I'm giving you all these laws, and human nature being human nature, they're probably thinking the way that we think, man, all these laws, all these commandments, all these statutes, all these judgments." And the Lord says, "Wait a minute. Remember Egypt? Remember, that was bondage. And I delivered you from Egypt, even though you did not deserve to be delivered from Egypt. And I set you free. I brought you into this land that you did not do anything to earn except follow me. I fought the battles. I drove out the inhabitants. I brought you in." And he said, "I've broken the bands of your yoke and made you go upright." You know what the Lord said? "I set you free." Now, fallen man thinks that if there's any law whatsoever restricting our behavior, then we're under bondage. No. No, we don't understand what bondage is. The Lord set them free. He delivered them from bondage, and he's given them a land that's flowing with milk and honey, and he's given them some laws to guide their lives so that they can enjoy the full blessings of God. Everything has rules. Amen. The laws of nature. Aren't you glad for those? We like those, don't we? We're glad that nature has some laws. I'm glad there's laws on the road. I don't always like all of them. I'm glad there's a yellow line down the center. Aren't you glad for that? Amen. I like the little lights that go green and red and yellow. Those are a blessing. The next time you're sitting at a red light saying, "Oh, I wish there was no red light here," go to the Philippines or go to Africa. You guys have been in Africa. You know what? There's no red lights there, not that I saw. He who has the loudest horn gets out first and the biggest truck. I'm thankful for rules. I'm thankful for laws. I'm glad that tonight if someone wanted to come harm my family, I could pick up the phone and call the police department. And 45 minutes later, they'll show up. Amen. No, I'm glad that when people do things wrong, they get in trouble for it. You glad to live in a land like that? The law of God, there's nothing wrong with the law of God. Now, the laws of man, we've messed a lot of things up. But there's nothing wrong with the law of God. I'm thankful for laws. Now, he promised them, he said, I've delivered you from bondage, but only through obedience to God's law would they continue in freedom. That's the only way for them to continue in freedom is living in obedience to the law of God. He makes mention here, and we stopped reading verse 2. Verse 3 of Leviticus 26, it says, if. Boy, what a big word that is in the Bible, isn't it? My dad told me, he said, there's two words in the Bible that keep me from being a Calvinist. If and whosoever. That's all you need. Amen. If you're a Calvinist, oh well, you're wrong. He said, if ye walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then. You see that all through the scripture. If, then what? Then I will give you rain. Look at verse 6. I will give you peace. Verse number 9. I will have respect unto you. Verse 11, I will set my tabernacle among you. Verse 12, I will walk among you. You know what he's doing? He's bringing us right back to that central theme of our existence. We are here for his pleasure. We're here to fellowship with him. And he said, listen, if you want me walking with you, and if you want me to dwell among you and to set my tabernacle, my tent, my abode with you, then you're going to have to keep my commandments. That's the only way to true fellowship. We talked about sacrifice. We talked about service. Now we're talking about submission. You got to do what the Lord says. Amen. You say, well, this is very simple. I know. It's very simple. You know, Christians, we don't fail in our Christian lives because we don't know what to do. We fail because we don't do what we know. It's not that we're clueless. It's just we have not decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. And so he said, if you'll keep these commandments, I'll be right there with you. I'll set my tabernacle among you. You know what Jesus said? We'll be neighbors. Well, I'll walk among you. We can have fellowship. But you cannot walk with God and live contrary to the law of God. You say, well, that law, that was for the Old Testament. That was for them. Well, there's plenty of laws in the New Testament. Amen. Now, he promised that destruction would await if they disobeyed. And the rest of the chapter is filled with this in Leviticus chapter 26. He says in verse 14, but if you will not hearken unto me and will not do all these commandments, and if ye shall despise my statutes and your soul abhor my judgments, so that ye will not do all my commandments, but that ye break my covenant, I also will do this unto you. I will even appoint over you terror. Well, that sounds like our day, doesn't it? Got terrorists everywhere. He says in verse 17, I will set my face against you. Verse 18, I will punish you. Verse 19, I will break the pride of your power. I will make your heaven as iron and your earth as brass. Verse 21, I will bring 7 times more plagues upon you according to your sins. Verse 22, I will send wild beasts among you. Verse 25, I will bring a sword upon you. I will send pestilence among you. Verse 28, I will walk contrary unto you in fury. And I will chastise you 7 times for your sins. He says in verse 30, I'll destroy your high places. Verse 31, I will make your cities waste. I will not smell the savor of your sweet odors. I will bring the land into desolation, verse 32. Verse 33, I will scatter you among the heathen. Verse 36, I will send a faintness into your hearts. Now, you know what? We read down through here, you know what? We can see the history of the nation of Israel, sadly. They fulfilled this entire chapter because there were times when they lived according to God's commandments and God blessed them, just like he said he would. And then there were times they lived contrary to God's commandments and God fulfilled his word in bringing destruction and dispersion to that nation. Now, when we look at the law of God, I want us to consider man's relationship to God through his relationship to the law. Now you say, well, explain that to me. Our relationship with our children really has a lot to do with their relationship to our laws. I know we got to put our thinking caps on tonight. I know we're tired, we don't want to think. But you can watch TV later. You won't have to think at all. So just think a little bit now. Our relationship to our children is affected to a great degree to their relationship to our laws, to our rules. And the same is true with God. In other words, we can see our relationship to God by looking at our relationship to the law of God. Now, in the beginning, that relationship to the law is fear. It's dread, right? Our kids learn, as I talked about earlier, they learned not to touch the stove by getting burned. You know, I know we all think our kids are smart, but they're not really all that smart. And you weren't either when you were a kid. It cracks me up. Usually the first child, and they'll say, look at how intelligent, how intelligently they're looking at me right now. I know I'm offending all you mothers right now. That baby's got one thing on mind. Eat. Food. Food. And that's pretty much all that's going on behind those eyes. And for the boys, it never really changes. It just kind of... Food. I'm saying their understanding level isn't very high. And listen, I'm not preaching on parenting tonight, but it fits the illustration, so I just might as well give it to you. It goes between aggravating me and amusing me to see parents trying to reason with a baby. Well, when you do that, you make mommy sad. Guess what? He don't care. Well, and then you got the spiritual dads. Well, I'm going to read the Bible to him. That's good, read the Bible. But they're not getting the Bible at 3 months old. Or 6 months, or a year. I'll tell you what they do understand, though. Pain. Oh, boy, now I'm really getting somewhere. They understand that. They do. You know what the Bible says? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You know how you learn the laws? You get hurt when you break the law. Here's the problem. So many homes, there's no laws in the home, and there's no punishment for breaking the laws in the home, that the kids don't find out until they're getting put in handcuffs that there is a punishment for breaking the law. Well, I just don't want to hurt him. I just don't want to hurt her. Listen, if you don't bring some pain into their life for breaking the law now, they're going to pay for it in a much greater way down the road. Amen. Say, what are you talking about? Well, let's just let the Lord say it, okay? Because some of you are making me nervous, like you're going to turn me in. Look at Proverbs. Look at Proverbs chapter 22. What does the Lord have to say? I know what Dr. Spock says, but for years I thought Dr. Spock was the guy on Star Trek. And then I learned better. The guy on Star Trek was smart. The other guy should have been out in outer space, amen. Look at Proverbs chapter 22 and look at verse number 15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Now that seems pretty plain to me. But if you need more instruction, come see me afterwards. I'll tell you what that means. You know what he's saying? There's foolishness in the heart of every child, and it's bound there. They're captivated by foolishness because they're bound in sin, just like you were, just like we all were. And the Lord said, there is a way to drive that foolishness out of his heart. Don't miss that. His heart. Nobody wants a fool for a child, a fool for a son or a daughter. And you could try to talk that foolishness out till you're blue in the face. You're not going to drive it out with anything but what God says you're going to drive it out with. Called the rod. Amen. In the beginning, as little ones, we learn to obey through fear of punishment or bad consequences. Is that right? That's our first step in understanding law, in our relationship with the law. When I break the law, bad things happen to me. It hurts. And can I say this? Sin hurts. Sin hurts. It feels good at first, but it hurts afterward. And so we need to understand, and we do understand as we get older, that our relationship to the law, it begins with this dread and fear of breaking the law. And that is a necessary step. When we talk about the law of God, and we talk about learning to walk with God and to fellowship with God, we cannot pass this step. We cannot go over this step. The fear of the Lord is the beginning. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's not the end, but it's the beginning. It's a necessary step. Okay? We obey because we're afraid not to. Now let me say this. That's better than disobeying. Amen? It's better to obey because you're afraid not to than it is to disobey and suffer the consequences. Amen? Amen. Nod your little pointy heads up and down. This is what I'm calling scared obedience. Scared obedience. Man, I was scared of my dad. Now, the reason why that makes you nervous is because we've gotten so far from biblical principles in our homes. We're afraid. We're afraid to live according to the Word of God. You've been watching so much television that you think like the world instead of renewing your mind by the Word of God.
Amen.
Amen. Well, so you say, well, I can't believe you said that. Well, this is the last night. Amen. I'm packing up and leaving tomorrow. It's all on you, brother. Sorry. I was afraid of my dad. I had a fear. You know, back, and I'm not that old. I feel strange saying, back in my day. But really, back in my day, kids feared the parents. Today, the parents fear the kids. Why is that? It's part of the judgment of God on this nation. He told Israel, he said, I'm going to make children rulers over you. Well, we got that, don't we? The kids make the rules anymore. Kids say something and everybody jumps. It's all about the children. Let me just help you with something here. The most important relationship in our home is me and my wife's. The kids don't come first in our home. Amen, preacher, that's good preaching right there. Amen. We fill our children's minds with all this garbage about how important they are and how special they are and how, you know, we can't live without them and all this stuff. And they grow up and they believe it. And then they think that the whole world revolves around them. And it is a rude awakening when they find out it does not. Amen. Boy, some of y'all are nervous. It's all right. Amen. I love my kids. I love my kids more than you do. Amen. Love my kids anyways. That's what I'm saying. Just in case you're getting offended for them. Amen. The beginning of our relationship with the law is that we fear. We fear. This is scared obedience. And then from the beginning, I'm calling this next step the midterms. I didn't really know what to call it. So the middle. We start with dread and fear of breaking the law. But then it grows as our understanding grows, and we get to a place of duty and formalism in our relationship to the law. Say, what do you mean, preacher? Well, I mean this. As we grow older, we learn how to work the system. My kids know how to work the system. Your kids know how to work the system. No matter what system you have, they're going to learn it. Right? And they're going to learn how to work it. And they're going to realize, okay, things go a lot better when I play by the rules. And so I will conform to the letter of the law, and then they take it a step further and even act like they enjoy the letter of the law. You say, how do you know this happened? Because that's what happened with me. Especially church kids. Church brats, man, you got to watch them. They get real, real good at playing the part. Amen. Well, you think my kids are playing the part? I don't even know your kids. Stop looking at me that way. We get real good at playing the part. We know the rules. We know what to say. We know what to wear. We know when to be where. And we know where not to be caught. We know all that stuff. We can conform. And so we can become, in our relationship to the law, it becomes a relationship of duty. This is a job, and I have to do this. Okay? So this is the step that they take. And you see this, and I'm not going to belabor this too much, but look at Philippians chapter 3. Okay? Look at Philippians chapter 3. And in Paul, in giving his testimony, he kind of describes what we can become in our relationship to the law. In Philippians chapter 3, look what he says here in verse number, look at verse 3. Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 3, it says, "For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh." He's describing what he is now. Now he's going to describe in verse 4 what he used to be. "Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day." You know where you're going to find that practice? In the law. That was the law for the male children. Be circumcised on the eighth day. He said, "Of the stock of Israel." That's God's chosen people. "Of the tribe of Benjamin." Now listen to this. Benjamin was one of only two tribes that stayed loyal to King David's line. Right? All the other tribes went, they broke off. So he's an Israelite, and he's a Benjamite, too. He's one of the good guys. In other words, he's not a liberal, he's a conservative. He's not just a Baptist, he's an independent Baptist. He said, "An Hebrew of the Hebrews." He's one of the true ones. Now look at this. "As touching the law, a Pharisee." Now when we think of the word Pharisee, we think of a hypocrite. Because that's what they came to be known as. And our brother dealt with it in Sunday school Sunday morning. The Pharisees. But of all the religions and belief groups that were during the time of Christ and the time of Paul, the ones that were closest to the truth of the law were the Pharisees. They're the ones who took the word of God literally. They're the ones who believed in the foundations of the faith. Paul was one of them. In other words, when you looked at the law and you read through the law, this is what you're supposed to be. Paul said, "That's what I am." Look what he says in verse number 6. "Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless." That's a big statement. The righteousness that's in the law, Paul said, "I was blameless." You know what that tells me? This is before Paul got saved. You know what that tells me? Just keeping the letter of the law is not enough. You can conform to the law, and you can say, "Well, I believe this, and I believe that, and I believe this." And Paul was not lying when he said he believed those things. He was sincere in his belief of the way that a Pharisee ought to live and the way the Jews ought to live. And he said, "When it comes to the law, the righteousness that's in the law, I was blameless." You know what he was? He was committed to duty. He was committed to having the right form. He had conformed his life to the law. But he's still lacking something. He's still missing something. He still wasn't pleasing God. Well, as we've looked at the book of Leviticus all week long, this is what we keep finding. Whether it's in the offerings, whether it's in the priesthood, whether it's in the laws. Just checking the boxes and all of those places is not enough to please God. And it's not because God can't be pleased. Some people you can't please. God's not one of those. God's not unreasonable. He calls us to a reasonable service. Is that right? So he can be pleased. But how can he be pleased? Well, it's not through duty. Duty is what I call surrendered obedience. You got scared obedience, then you've got surrendered obedience. In other words, I can't win this war, and so I'm going to give in. That's what surrender is. But then look at this in 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. And we sang a lot more tonight, amen? So that's why it's later. 1 Timothy 1. And chapter 1 and verse number 5. We've seen the beginning of the law. We've seen the middle part of the law in our relationship with the law. But what is the end? What is the goal? Why did God give the law? Well, look at 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. Now, the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. What the Lord wanted when He gave the law to His people is He wanted them to obey His law, not because they were forced to, not because they found out, well, I'm better off if I do, but because they wanted to. That's relationship. That's fellowship. Well, it's our anniversary. I have to get my wife flowers. That's not much of a relationship. Well, it's better for me if I do. I hope you got a better pitch than that when you bring him to her. Happy wife, happy life. How about you do it because you want to? How about you do it because you want to draw nigh to her? You want to have fellowship. You want her to know that you love her. That's what God wanted. That's what He still wants. And so where we started with dread and fear, and we moved to duty and formalism, let's not stay there. Let's get to where it's devotion and faithfulness. Devotion. Devotion. That is, you're obeying from your heart because you want to. It's not put on, but it's put in and it's poured out. And you serve Him because you love Him. And you draw nigh to Him because you love Him. And you keep His commandments because you love Him. You know that's what pleases Him. Psalm 119. So many good verses. And let's just turn there. We'll end up there. Look at Psalm 119. Psalm 119, look at verse number 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. We always talk about this verse as memorizing Scripture. Memorize Scripture and you won't sin against God. Well, it's good to memorize Scripture, but that's not what the Bible says here. It doesn't say, thy word have I hid in my head. Thy word have I hid in my heart. Why? That I might not sin against thee. The desire is not to sin against the Lord. And if the desire is not to sin against the Lord, then when you're filling your mind with the Word of God and it's getting down to your heart, It'll keep you from sinning. It'll keep you from breaking His commandments and breaking His heart. See, when I was a kid, I feared, I didn't want to break the commandments because I was afraid of my dad hurting me. But you know what? Now, I'm not afraid of my dad hurting me. By breaking the commandments, I don't fear that dad would hurt me. I fear that I would hurt him. See, there should be a change. There should be a growth. We should go from it being self-centered. Well, I don't want to break the law because look what's going to happen to me. To loving God enough in our hearts where we say, I don't want to break God's law because I don't want to break His heart. I don't want to grieve the Spirit of God. I don't want to affect or tarnish our relationship and our walk together. I value His fellowship too much. The end was devotion. It always was. The goal has always been fellowship. Look at verse 97. 97 of chapter 119, or Psalm 119, that is. Oh, how love I thy law. Verse 113, I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. Verse 165, I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. Verse 165, great peace have they which love thy law. We don't often think about law and love together. But that's exactly what God gave the law for, so that we'd learn to love our God. Law doesn't ruin relationships. Rules don't kill fellowship. They guide us into a closer walk with God. They train us to know the heart of God and the character of God and what makes Him tick, what makes Him smile. And as we find that out, we figure out, boy, the Lord really likes this. I'm going to do this for the Lord. He likes when I keep His commandments. And so I'm going to do it because I love Him. You know what this is? This is submitted obedience. And the Lord, when He was calling, there's a difference between surrender and submission. Do you know that? Surrender means you can't fight anymore. That's what armies do. When they're overcome, they surrender. They don't want to surrender. They don't want to give in. But they do because they don't have enough strength to fight back. That's surrender. Submission is when, of your own voluntary will, you put yourself under the power of another. When you choose to. When you could stand up and say, no, no more. But you don't want to. That's where the Lord wants to get us to. That's the relationship He wants us to have with Him. You know what? When you get to that point, then you'll say, I love the law. It is my meditation all the day. The law? The law? Well, we don't like the law. Listen, if you don't like the law, you're saying a lot more about yourself than you are about the law. Romans 7 tells us, New Testament, the law is good and holy and just. It's a wonderful thing. Why? Because it tells us who God is. And once you figure out who God is, then the fellowship gets sweeter. That's why the Bible tells husbands to dwell with their wives according to knowledge. The better you know them, the better your relationship can be. I know we make all the jokes about, you know, we can't figure them out. They're fearfully and wonderfully made. Amen. I think the Lord leaves the mystery there, so we'll keep pursuing. Amen. I wasn't planning on preaching on marriage, but that's a pretty good point right there. Do you know everything about God? I don't know everything about God. Seems like the more I walk with Him, the more questions I have. But you know what I want to do? I want to pursue Him. How do I learn more about God? Read His law. That'll show you the character of God. Show you what pleases Him. You know, maybe instead of reading the law, thinking, boy, look what all those Israelites had to do. Look what they couldn't do. Praise God, I'm not under that law. Praise God. Maybe instead of reading it that way, maybe we should read it this way. Wow, Lord. I didn't know that about you. And even though I'm not under this law, maybe it'd be a good thing to just show you how much you mean to me. I'll do without that. If that'll make you happy, I'll do without that. Maybe if we read it that way, maybe we'd unlock something in our relationship with God that we hadn't had access to before. Maybe we might know Him a little better. Before we just throw away the law, maybe we ought to examine it a little closer, because it reveals to us the character of God. Don't get nervous, amen. I'm not saying you got to keep the law. I'm just saying maybe there's something about God we hadn't seen because we hadn't been looking in the right places. He called to Moses. Hey, come on in here. I want fellowship. Let me show you some things you hadn't seen before. Let's go places that we hadn't gone before. Don't you yearn for a closer walk with God? A closer walk with God. Do you rise in the morning and you want to hear His voice before anyone else's? Heavenly Father, we sure are grateful for Your patience with us and Your love. We're thankful to see that these commands were not given to make their lives miserable. They weren't given to make the commands in the New Testament. They're not given to make our lives miserable. They're given so that we might know You better and understand how to walk with You. Understand what pleases You, so that we can bring more glory to Your name, more honor. We can enjoy closer fellowship with You. God, we pray, along with the songwriter, draw me nearer. Draw me nearer. Help us not to be satisfied with our relationship with You. Help us to always be pursuing You. I believe that's what You had in mind when You talked about David being a man after Your own heart. I believe he was in pursuit of You. He talked about, as the hart panteth for the water brooks, so longeth my soul after Thee, O God. Lord, would we draw a little closer to You tonight and in the days to come? We know this revival meeting is coming to an end, but hopefully, Lord, it's just the beginning of true revival in our hearts. that you would be the most important person in our lives. Think about my boy. He's been gone from us for a few weeks working and things. Don't hear from him much, and I was longing to hear from him today. Lord, I wonder how many times you're longing to hear from us. Days and days passed, and we never truly commune with you, Lord. It must break your heart. God, help us to draw near to you, to know you better than we've ever known you before, that our heart would beat with yours, that the mind of Christ would be in us. Fill us, Lord, with your Spirit. Glorify Christ in and through our lives. Draw us near to your side now, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. These altars are open. I invite you to come.
If I were to ask you Saturday, what's Leviticus about? It's about the law. That's what it's about. You know, it's about sacrifices. It's about service. It's about submission. I was thinking about those three things, and the preacher's been talking at length about them. Maybe we sacrifice, maybe we serve, maybe we submit out of fear. Maybe we do it out of duty. But I think the way that the Lord is most pleased is when we sacrifice and when we serve and when we submit out of love. James 1:25 says, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Hey, I think it's important for a Christian to find out what God thinks about things and then to do them continually. Really appreciate the preaching this past week. It's been helpful. It's been encouraging. There's some points I would like to cut out. Say about the hard parts in my heart, you know. But I'm thankful. I asked Brother Thren, I said, he says, "I feel like I have great liberty here. Praise the Lord." And thankful for that. We certainly have been strengthened by these last few days, and we are thankful for that. And let us take the things that we've heard, that we've learned maybe, and go do them. Make application in our own life personally to that. Say, "I'm going to need some help." Well, praise the Lord. Love to help you along the way. Let's all stand. We'll be dismissed. As we've said all week, on the way out, there's an offering plate. I ask that you put something in there for Brother Thren and his family. Be an encouragement and help to him. And the Bible says God loveth a cheerful giver. Say, "Oh, sacrifice. Oh, I'm afraid of what God would do if I didn't put it in there." How about you just do it because you love the Lord? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. Thank you for your kindness and love toward us. God, thank you for your mercy. God, thank you for your correction. God, we know that you correct us because you love us. And I'm thankful for those difficult times. Lord, I'm thankful for your word that teaches us what it is that you, those things that you love. Lord, help us to love the things that you love. Lord, I pray that you'd give us a tender heart towards others, a compassionate heart, Lord. God, I ask that you'd watch over us now, protect us as we travel home. And God, help us not to soon forget what it is that you spoke to our hearts about here this past week. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a good night.